All right, we're back here at Obie Clark's for Sports Medicine, brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. Hey, the show is also brought to you in part by Berman Chiropractic and Wellness. Check them out there in Clayton, right next to the Ritz-Carlton, across the street from Caldy's Coffee. Doc, if you're looking to get that recovery, feel better, heal quicker, why not try a little cryotherapy from Berman Chiropractic and Wellness?
Well, you know, I think it's a good spot for lots of reasons. I think the cryo's definitely state-of-the-art, and more and more people are turning to it for recovery, decrease in inflammation, fibromyalgia, back pain, etc. But I also think if you need an assessment, spinal assessment, back pain assessment, etc., Dr. Berman is your guy. I mean, you know, they know mechanics, and so he's a good guy to talk to. Let him decide if you'd be a good candidate for cryo or you'd be a good candidate for maybe some therapy or manipulation and, you know, get back on track.
Absolutely. And again, 314-862-5700. Call Dr. Matt Berman today. And if you're just looking for a service massage going on there as well. But again, try the cryotherapy. Just 3 minutes and you feel like a new man. Trust me.
You'll even look better. Look at you.
I feel great. Feel really good. Mike Trout, by the way, before we move on, from the, what are they, the Anaheim Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I don't even know what the hell do you call these guys nowadays?
I know. I used to call them the California Angels. Then when they change your name, now everything's different.
Used to be the California Angels. Anyway, the best player in baseball, one of the very few true elite superstars that the game has nowadays. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. He was probably going to enjoy another MVP season. That looks like that's going to get derailed with a thumb injury. When you have a thumb injury, Doc, the one sport you probably cannot play is baseball, because we see other athletes in other sports try to find a way to get on the field or the ice with a thumb injury. You can't do that in baseball, can you?
No, and you know, it's weird. You're right, though. You know, if you're an offensive lineman or you're not a quarterback and you have this ulnar collateral ligament in your thumb, or what people call a gamekeeper's thumb, which probably dates back, you know, 5,000 years when they would break the game's neck using their thumb and hurt their thumb, you can't hold the bat. You can't oppose, meaning you can't close your hand to gain any strength. And when you looked at the injury, it really didn't look like much of anything, but something Lou Brock always told me, he said, if you're gonna slide into second base or third base head first, put something in your hand, put your batting glove in your hand, close your hand around something so this doesn't happen. And you know, he's 100% right. What happened was he kind of slid in, his hand was open, thumb got caught on the base, boom, tears his ulnar collateral ligament, which is, in a sports medicine practice, pretty common, and boom, he's out 6-8 weeks. And you got to remember, Yachty had this a couple times, had two surgeries on one hand for it. It takes a while to come back, and if you're trying to bat, it is very difficult to bat and hold the bat if your UCL doesn't work. So I think we're going to have a little downtime with Mike Trout.
All right, we got a couple topics I want to get into before we get out of here at 8 o'clock. Again, we're live at Obie Clark's. This is Sports Medicine, brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC in Hazelwood at I-270 McDonald Boulevard. You know, people are having trouble sleeping, Doc. We'll get into that here coming up soon and tell you maybe what you can do to help yourself sleep. If you're one of the, I think, a third of all Americans who struggle with sleep, can't sleep at night, whether it's anxiety or depression that's leading towards that, we'll tell you what you can do to help your sleeping patterns. But this is important for parents out there in terms of junk food, Doc. I mean, we see junk food everywhere. It's all over television. You go to a grocery store, it's in your face. You go to a Target, it's in your face. You can't get away from it. And if you take your kids to the store, that's all they want, right? I mean, they're conditioned to be that way. You try candy for the first time, all of a sudden, that's all you're going to want is candy. Right. So don't give your kids candy until they're a little bit older, when they can understand wise choices, good choices, and bad choices. But it's funny how kids can recognize certain labels and tying that to obesity in this country.
Absolutely. So if you think about it, there is a multi-billion dollar game going on trying to get your kids to eat the wrong thing. So M&M commercials, you just go on and on and on about all the bad stuff, Doritos, Fritos, etc. So all the bad stuff, they spend fortunes on trying to get your kids to eat these foods, because they're trying to sell these foods. They're not really concerned that they're not very healthy, they're not good for your kids. But smart people have studied this, and what they realize is that the more your kids And these are all you listeners out there, recognize the names: Coca-Cola, Sprite, M&M's, Twix bars, Hershey bars, on and on. They looked at this and they said the more your kids recognize these names, the increased chance they were going to have of being obese as adolescents and obese as adults. And you know what your point is? Your point's on the money, and that is don't start your kids out on these things when they're 4 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old. If they're used to eating fruit and healthy foods, that's what they're going to want. That's what they're going to eat. And if they're used to asking you for your extra M&M's or the other Twix bar or some Mounds bar, that's what they're going to eat because they taste good and they're in the media all the time.
Yeah.
So that is really important. If your kid's asking for these foods by name, you got to quit giving them these foods.
Well, it's foods like M&M's, like you mentioned, Coca-Cola, KFC. I mean, we hate to trash all these restaurants and name brands out there, but you shouldn't be surprised. Pringles is on the list. I mean, they say that the kids are more likely to be obese. And there was a study at the University of Michigan, Doc, that found that these kids may not remember the names or characters precisely, but they sure as hell recognize the labels and logos associated with these unhealthy foods.
Exactly. And that is, you know, sugar's addictive. There's no doubt about it.
You think it's an addiction?
There's not even one.
That's not why Tiger Woods was passed out on the wheel, though. Do we know that for sure?
Well, he might have had some KFC before.
You think he overdosed on KFC and M&M's or what?
He may have had a few extra M&M's, but I don't think that was that night. That wasn't the big problem. But I do think that if your kids are strictly going to want those types of foods and they're going to ask for those foods by names instead of asking for an apple or asking for a banana or asking for some broccoli or something else, then they are dialed in. They're dialed into that sugar high. They're dialed into how they feel when they eat those foods, and you got to be concerned about that. And the earlier you can retrain your kids to get away from those foods, the better they're going to do. So, you know, again, your point was well taken. Don't give them that extra cookie, that Oreo, or, you know, you didn't really finish your chocolate bar, so you just give them a little slice because they love it. So they get used to that, and that's what they want because that's what tastes good. And, again, sugar is an addiction, and these little kids get addicted. When you are obese as an adolescent is about 1%. That's pretty bad.
I mean, this is really interesting. We can take phone calls on this or any other topic if you have questions for Dr. Rick Lehman at 855-282.
Yeah, the kids are 4.5 years old.
8255. Right? 855-282-8255. Sounds about right. Give us a call.
There we go.
You can come on and talk with Dr. Rick Lehman. You're right. Kids on the average 4.5 years old. But they basically did a test to see which foods they could identify, Doc. They were given, I think, 30 different choices. And the most well-known brands among all these kids was, like, Goldfish, which I got to admit, the Goldfish are pretty good. We always have the Goldfish in my house. It's not quite at the addiction level. But the researchers found that overweight children recognize 10 food items more often than the kids who were of a healthy weight. Right?
And what was the number one thing that they recalled? What's the number one food that they knew at 4.5 years old? McDonald's.
Number one. McDonald's is bad. I think McDonald's is an addictive food for a lot of people.
I agree. And I think if you eat, you know, broccoli and some asparagus and something really healthy, or McDonald's, I mean, I think we can all agree in terms of taste, you and I might know one is more healthy than the other, but in terms of taste, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'd rather have a McDonald's quarter pounder than some asparagus.
They used to brag about over 3 billion served. I don't see too many of those signs anymore. But, you know, there's something to be said that places like McDonald's, and they're starting to sell, like, and market themselves towards more healthier options, salads, yogurt. Like, who the hell goes to McDonald's and orders a salad? I have no idea.
Well,
right?
You know, but on the other hand, if your kid really wants a hamburger and you're going to go and you're trying to eat healthy and you can get a salad, you know, kudos to them for having a salad, or kudos to them for having a chicken sandwich that's not fried and doesn't have a ton of fat and trans fats in it. So I think they are trying to respond to a little bit of a healthier diet, because there are a percentage of people out there that would stop at a McDonald's or traveling or something and order a salad. But I think if you live close to McDonald's and you're going 2-3 times a week and that's what your 4.5-year-old son or daughter wants, I wouldn't give it to him.
You think food costs too much, like good food? Like, you go to a health food store, Doc, like a Whole Foods, for example. I mean, that's why I call it Whole Paycheck. because it costs so much money to shop there on a regular basis, which we try to do in my house, to be honest with you. My wife is always there. She's probably there 4 or 5 times a week, to be honest with you. But why does good food cost so much money? See, that's the problem, is people are focusing on eating these foods because it's easy to get, because it's cheap. And they supersize it for like 10 cents more. So you can get all this food for basically less than $5. I don't even know how much it costs. It's probably like $2.99, with it being supersized, with like a 64-ounce Coke and like more fries than like an entire Indian, you know, village can eat. And it's like $2. But if you want healthy food, you're going to probably have to pay close to $20 for the same amount of food.
Absolutely, and that's the rub. So, you know, high fructose corn syrup, very cheap. Load it up your soda, loads up your hamburger, loads up the bun. You know, some people say that there's the same material in a gymnastics mat that there is in a McDonald's bun. That's a little bothersome.
Yeah. Were there golf balls or something like that?
And there were some golf balls. So yes.
Well, that explains Tiger. He's like, hey, now he's eating his golf balls, for God's sakes.
And so it is much more cost-effective to eat at a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a fast food restaurant because, like you said, the food's pretty cheap. Now, the flip side of the coin is to get food that is healthy, that it's organic, it's not loaded with steroids, doesn't have preservatives, et cetera, has to have a time frame. You know, it has to be at Whole Foods at a certain time. It can't sit on the shelf for long periods of time. It's not frozen. And all the things that make it healthy make it expensive. So you're 100% right. It is very expensive to eat healthy food, and it's much less expensive to eat a fast food. And the fast food's going to put whatever it takes to make it smell good, taste good. You know, those fries have different things in them that just make them smell good and just make them taste good that has nothing to do with potatoes.
No.
And so there, again, it's a billion-dollar industry getting you to eat the wrong things and plenty of it. And so you have to get on the right track early with your kids so that isn't what they want. And you know what? Sooner or later, someone's going to take them to McDonald's, your aunt, their friends, someone's mother. You know, you're going to go get it. So you got to push on the other side to try to get them to eat healthy and get used to eating healthy.
Yeah, it used to be little kids that it was good to give them juice all the time. Now more and more pediatricians are saying don't give your kids juice under the age of 2 or 3 years of age.
Right, and so if you're going to give them juice, you shouldn't give them more than 6 ounces a day. And so to load them up with those little juice boxes, A, is terrible for their teeth. B, increases your chances of getting type 2 diabetes, and is terrible for you. And, you know, that's the other problem. Part of the problem is all the stuff that we used to think was so good for us, you know, like we always talk about it. You know, we used to say, well, if you eat low fat and eat plenty of carbs, you're fine. Now if you eat low fat, you're bad, because if you eat all those carbs, they're no good for you. So it used to be juices were very good for you. Now they're loaded with sugar. They have preservatives. They're terrible for you. So, again, try to eat fresh. Try to eat healthy. Eat things that are green. Eat things that are not prepackaged, and look at the labels. If these things are loaded with sugar, and all you got to do is Google to see what's in a McDonald's hamburger, you probably never eat another one, but, you know, it's all on the internet. It's not like the old days where it was hard to find. All you got to do is look in your phone, and you're going to get it.
You know, there's people driving around being like, what are these guys talking about? Whatever. We grew up on that. Didn't kill me. I was always in shape. Still am in shape. More people are starting to make these changes, you know, to where it's not considered as abnormal as maybe as it was 5, 10 years ago. I mean, some people even looked at it as being a little bit weird or strange, whatever, if you eat healthy. I think the good news is I think more and more schools have tried to implement healthier options in their school lunches. I know at my kids' school that they do that. So it's becoming a little more mainstream. I think that's the positive, but not quite mainstream enough, to be honest with you.
I agree, but you make a good point, and the point is when you eat poorly when you're young and then you eat poorly in your 20s and your 30s,
you create your habits for life.
And you say, look, I'm doing fine. I'm working out every day. I ran a 7-minute mile. I feel great. So when does it catch up with you? It catches up with you between 40 and 50. Mm-hmm. And it's not weird that the incidence of heart disease and cancer are going through the roof. We never had cancers like we're having now, or heart disease like we're having now. And so basically, you're right. You're going to get to 25 or 30 years old or 40 years old, and you're going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, you got some weird, crazy disease. And, you know, where did these weird cancers coming from? And where are these incidence of heart disease coming from? And the answer is it does catch up with you as you get older, and that's what's going on. So I would tell you the reason to eat healthy isn't because you're going to die tomorrow. You're not going to die tomorrow. The reason to eat healthy is when you're 30 and 40 years old, that's when it's going to catch up with you, and you got to start it early.
Yeah, before we take a break, come back and tell you not only what to eat but how to sleep too. We're going to give you some information
that's
on that
important.
Too. But these are the 10 food items that most of the kids who were unhealthy that they could recognize, where healthy kids didn't recognize these foods at the same rate. M&Ms, we mentioned that. Cocoa Puff cereal.
Wow.
Haven't had that in like 30 years, to be honest. People still eat that, I would imagine, right?
I didn't even know you could find them.
They still have Cocoa Puffs? That stuff was good, though, I got to be honest with you.
They do taste good.
Keebler cookies?
Oh, baby.
You know what? You can find better alternatives that taste the same as all of these without all the crap inside of them.
Yeah, but they're expensive.
But then you got to pay the premium price.
Pay the freight.
Although I always said, if there's one thing I don't mind paying a little bit extra for, it's what you're going to put in your body. If you're going to ever pay a little more for something, you might as well pay for something that's going to keep you alive longer, right?
I agree, and healthier.
And cut out some of the maybe funds that you're positioning elsewhere. Pringles potato chips. Rice Krispies cereal, that's bad for you?
Rice Krispies cereal is about nothing but sugar. Doesn't have a whole lot of nutrient content, and quite honestly, you probably don't want to be eating that.
Cap'n Crunch, man. That was unbelievable back in the day. But it's on the list.
Yeah.
Of course kids know what that is. Coca-Cola. Soda's bad, eh?
Soda's terrible. Soda's terrible. And, you know, again, it's the same thing. Tastes good, quenches your thirst, gives you that little fizz, etc. Diet soda, terrible. Regular soda, terrible. You know, drink water, drink tea, drink something else.
Planters peanuts.
Now, I can't believe that they're bad for you. I'm
well, peanuts are bad. Now, listen, I remember that, you know, peanuts are always available in the press box at Blues games.
Okay.
And I'll never forget, and I won't name who the coach was, but a coach walked by and he told a bunch of media people who were just loading up on the peanuts, hey, peanuts will make you fat. That's exactly what he said. And peanuts, compared to other, like almonds, other type of nuts, almonds and pistachios or whatever, you know, they... The health content probably isn't nearly as high, I would imagine.
I would agree with that. But, again, I don't think – I would have to tell you, I don't think peanuts are bad.
But Planters peanuts are loaded with salt and whatever, you know?
Agreed. But I don't think you can put them in the same category as Hamburger Helper or Rice Krispies.
And Cap'n Crunch.
Or Captain Crunch. But, yes, I think and generally raw nuts are very good for you. And, yeah, if you honey roast them, and you put all kinds of junk in them and load them up with salt, they're not very good for you. I agree with that.
All right, Hamburger Helper, you just stole. And that is on the list as well. The brand with the highest recall percentage among overweight kids was McDonald's. No shock there. Hey, this study appears in the July issue of Appetite, which I've never heard of. So if you read the magazine called Appetite, you can read all about this. But it is good information, and it's information you should take serious.
Absolutely, and you know what? It tells you something. And these are kids that are 4 years old. They're not 10 or 12, so... If your kid's sitting there and he can name all the foods that he wants to eat, and these are them, then you got to be a little bit careful.
I would agree with that. All right, this show is brought to you in part by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Hey, find out for yourself why over 90% of doctors and hospitals are in network with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Doc, they do amazing stuff here locally in our community. They give back millions of dollars through their charitable efforts. And, you know, the best thing about Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield is that their leadership team is located right here in downtown St. Louis, across from the Scott Trade Center. So if you have questions, you can get those answered very, very quickly. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Call your broker today or check them out online at anthem.com. All right, I'm Andy Strickland. Dr. Rick Lehman is here. This is Sports Medicine, brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. It's great to be with you on a Wednesday night. We're live at O.B. Clarkson, Brentwood.